Center button. Okay, I think we're in business. Today is January 12, 2020, and we're a little short, but there's no reason why that shouldn't be good. Lord, we ask that your blessings would be on our time today, O Lord, and as your word says, where two or three are gathered together.
Yes.
We have a few more than that, but not too many more. But, Lord, that we would be able to receive your truth in a fuller measure. Now, it is in part until the day that we see you face to face, but cause that part to be a bigger part, Lord. Cause that part to be a fuller, more accurate understanding of you, Lord. Lord, that you would make us into what you are. It won't be as great, but make us more like you, Lord. Make us more like you by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Bless today. Amen.
Amen. So I just, what I was talking about in 1 Corinthians about gods, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, that's in parentheses, yet for us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and then, there, you know, and then it says, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. So, and it's kind of funny why that's in the setting, speaking of idols, you know, like offering food on idols and stuff like that. And then that's in there. Because, however, there is not everyone the knowledge for some with consciousness of the idol, until now, either is a thing offered to idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. You know, that's right after that.
It's probably one thought.
Yeah.
Uses that term God, plural, as not a synonym for idols, you know, treated as gods, but.
Yeah. Then the other one that popped up was, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, which I haven't always taught that, I guess. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So there's different ways they can be baptized, I guess. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12, right after he gives the, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Yes.
Through that, it's at the end of the little segment there.
Keith, have you considered that? This is about baptized into one body.
You know, by the Spirit, I think so. I think so. The thing that that I see from the Scriptures, I don't know exactly what to do with it. It says that we are baptized into Christ. And as many as we're baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. And so I think that what we have done is we have baptized into deity when we're supposed to be baptized into humanity. And it's like they're baptized under Moses, or into Moses. And the reason being, I can see the reason why. The reason is that God created Christ in perfection. Adam was not in perfection. And so what God created, he created Christ for us to become, as a type for us to become. That's what we are to be, is Christ. A Christian, Christ-like. And I think the Jews, the early writer understood that a lot better than we do. And when, you know, when my Lord and my God.
Thomas?
Thomas, yeah. We don't even know if that was accurate. He could have said, my Lord, you know, or something. And the translators could have put it on there to make it sound like Jesus is a God. You know, we don't know. And I don't know. It probably says that in all of it, but it doesn't matter.
Now, we're left with what we're left.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit knows how to design things.
Yeah.
But as we were kind of saying, what is this God? What does he mean when he says, use the word God there? It doesn't necessarily mean he's identifying Jesus as God. There's another alternative.
We don't really know. But we have no place where he says that he is God.
Right.
He's the Son of God. He's also, but he says, when the Son of Man returns, so he's used the term Son of Man as often or more often than he did the Son of God.
Yeah.
And I can understand it. You know, and that's who he was. So Eve, he was the Son of Man. He was the ancestry of him. You know, I mean, the men, they didn't use God as an ancestor. And yet God is over all, you know.
You know, it says in 12:27, Corinthians verse, now you are the body of Christ. So how could you be the, are you the body of God? No, you're the body of Christ. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Son of Man, I just looked it up, as you mentioned, 207 times in the Bible.
What is it?
The Son of Man.
Really?
207 times.
Yeah. I went through and underlined this one time when I was kind of reading all the way through, and just kept, when that would come up, I would underline it. And yeah, it was a whole, if I think it's 31 times in the New Testament. Something like that.
Ken, I don't know if you remember, but a while back you thought you discerned a pattern there. That term, Son of Man, is used when there is a kind of a major project that God wants to accomplish through men.
Yeah, an anointing.
Yes.
It was an anointing.
Yeah, he needed, like Gideon. I think maybe Gideon was referred to as the Son of Man, but there was a big job there that Gideon had to do. He's referred to as Son of Man.
And most of the prophets, God refers, hey, Son of Man, speak this.
You got a big job here.
Yeah.
Son of Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was perplexed by that for a long time, and I just put it before the Lord, and then it just, all of a sudden, this, you know how it pops in your head, and, yeah, anointed. Anointed one, or what, yeah. One being anointed.
Equipped for the job.
Yeah.
And equipping.
Because it made it stand out, kind of, you know, in the scriptures. It just, it wasn't just, oh, Son of Man. You know, it almost emphasized it. I don't know. Sometimes it may have been capitalized. I'm not sure. But, you know, so, yeah, it was just odd. I thought I caught Paul in a lie. I heard him say, and he was explaining his testimony, and he goes, and I saw the Lord Jesus, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I went around, and in the first part of it, it's like he fell on his face, he heard a voice, never said, you know, Jesus, but in every account after, even Ananias, or whoever the one that was supposed to go and lay hands on him, said, you know, I'm the man that's coming, and he says, because the Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road. So, you know, so, I was wrong. He wasn't lying.
But it is funny that there are, you know, there's, I think, Jacob, he wrestled with the angel. And afterwards, he said, I have seen God.
Yeah,
no one's supposed to see God and live, you know, but there are, maybe there's different nuances to the seeing business, I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking, too. It could be so clear to you that you know you saw, but you didn't make it. Well, I think he actually probably in his vision did maybe see Jesus before, you know, but... Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I was listening to a rabbi, a American rabbi. I don't know how you know, a Gentile rabbi, you might. Well, no, I guess he was Jewish, but he lived in Pittsburgh all his life. Well, he was ministering over in Jerusalem to, like, 500 Russian Jews who had come back to Israel. Mm-hmm. And you know what he used? He used when the angel appeared, and it says a man appeared, and he said, so that was God taking on the, you know,
the form of, man.
Form of a man.
Yeah.
And I thought, and you're a... You want to speak to the Jews, and you still want to bring the Trinity. You know?
Well, I think they see that as an essential element of it, so that's always the sticking point. You know, they try to argue the unarguable.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get a chance. I wanted to go read over how that said, because I know the one, like the burning bush, first there's an angel, and then it's God speaking without an angel, you know, but he isn't seeing God. He's hearing his voice in the burning bush, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, how do you know that man wasn't an angel, you know?
Oh, you describe the same event. First it's a man, then he turns into an angel, you know. I mean, they're interchangeable.
Oh, yeah, he took on the form of man. You know, God is a spirit. God is spirit.
You don't, when Paul described his experience, he gives us a different presentation several different times. And one of them, he says, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
That makes it pretty specific.
They're on that road, on the road, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it lets Jesus know, let him know his identity.
Yeah.
This is Son of Man that we're talking about.
Yeah, and he could see him because
he's
a man. You know, it's not unusual for him, somebody to be able to see Jesus because he has form.
Mm-hmm.
You know? God is not that form.
You know, there is, we don't have much trouble with the scripture where Jesus says, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, he's a perfect. Mm-hmm. But I suppose that's, what kind of proof do you need beyond that? Of course he's God.
Yeah.
Of course he's the second member of the Trinity. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, my case rests, you know.
Yeah,
you
know, actually,
they don't take in consideration the other scriptures.
Right.
But
see, the key word in there is if you see me, you see the Father. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The word Father in there changes that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Without reading the next verse, I got all I can do. I'm going to talk today. I'm kind of stuffed up. But without reading verse 10, you could easily mistake it. He is saying, I am the Father.
Right.
But he says, it is the Father that is in me that does the work.
Yes.
He's the one doing the work. And so we see, like, Corinthians 5, where it says, God did Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Well, that's all we're talking about. Or he was given the Spirit without measure. it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Well, God is spirit.
And I was looking over that again in Corinthians 8, 5. Why, if it's talking about many gods and lords, then why doesn't yet for us there is one God, three in one, blah blah blah. Why doesn't it say that? You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
If the Trinity were true, you would expect some kind of archetype. There are plenty of opportunities.
Yeah. To lay it out.
It's kind of like a clover, or something. Or an egg.
Yeah, the yolk.
I mean, they could do that. I mean,
sure. Do all you want, but when you really think about it, that's about as stupid an illustration there is, because how is the yolk equal with the white and the shell? Yeah, there's three things there, but that's all. I mean, it's crazy.
I do believe these things unfold according to God's plan, and indeed you have seen this revelation as being basic. You've seen it as basic. And I must say I haven't shared fully your revelation of that, but I have a few intimations that, it is basic.
Yeah.
I don't have the fullness of the revelation, but I do see it as basic, and I see it as being basic to those who are of the truth hearing his voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's separating those folks. If you're not of the truth, you're going to be staying with the tried and true and the comfortable and so forth. If you are of the truth, you discard whatever is not true, regardless of how closely attached you are to that thing. You know?
Yeah.
I just see that as being important.
Well,
what God's purposes are.
In Romans 6, it says that we are baptized into his death, his burial, and the resurrection. I think that should be pretty clean. You know what I mean? Does it say anything different in other translations?
Romans 6:3.
I think we looked it up before. I think most of us say that.
Yeah.
While we're looking at, I just happened to open up Exodus 33. It says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." But you know what? That doesn't mean anybody had to be standing there. You know, he just was speaking right to him, as a friend.
Romans 6:3. "Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Jesus, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life."
Okay, now what translation is that?
NIV.
Okay. That's pretty much what the King James says.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a few.
Does it say anything different anywhere?
Bonnie, what one do you have? Amplified.
Which one is it?
Amplified.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just pretty much the same. About the same?
Yeah.
Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have just been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by the baptism of death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behavior and
newness of life. See, the picture of baptism, if we see if there's any fixed picture that gives an accurate picture, it's Romans 6. And so, we are baptized into Christ. And because we are, there has to be something that we're missing somewhere. And it's not that I've got a full picture of it by any means. But this has been tormenting me, if that's a word to use. It's like he was the example. He was the image. And so when God said, let us make man in our image, if he was thinking of Christ, when he said, that would be the perfect image, then that is what we are to be made into. We are to be made into the one that was without sin, who did not sin, who obeyed the Father in everything he puts in me. You know, that is what we are to be, what we are to accomplish. I got all I can do to talk. So we'll let somebody else talk.
Out on the ice too long yesterday?
I think so.
Reading on there in Romans 6, after Romans 6:3, starting verse 5, it kind of develops it some more. It says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. We believe that we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him.
So the whole rest of that chapter has to do with the dying to self, getting rid of sin, and so forth.
Yeah, it says the death, he died. He died to sin once for all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the seventh chapter is where Paul begins to tell him what his own presence.
Yeah, right.
You know, the good that I would, I do not. And so
it almost seems like he is thinking, I went a little too far when I talked about being free to sin. I look at my own life and I see that that's not true. You know?
Yeah.
I have thought that the book of Romans was kind of an argument that Paul was developing. Comes to the right answer at the beginning, but you.
Well, I heard
at the end, but not throughout.
I had a minister tell me one time that Romans 7 was actually a beforehand experience of Paul.
Yeah.
That's not who Paul was. That's who he used to be.
Yeah.
And I don't think so.
No. Paul knows how to use the past tense when he's talking about things in the past. Yeah. This is in the present tense.
Yeah.
No, that argument does not hold water.
No. What it is a... It's a justification or a way for people to prove or say, well, I'm okay. You know, I'm fine. This was past life.
And just as when we go into the water, that is not crucifixion, that is not burial, really. I mean, in that same way, I think, and then we're resurrected, that's not a real resurrection. But it is accounted as being that by God.
Yes, it
is counted by being that.
Yeah.
In that same way, when it says we are dead to sin, well, no. We're not dead to sin. But in the same way as the going in the water was a burial, it is counted as being dead to sin.
That's what it says in 11. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
So you're to count yourself.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you are.
Yeah.
To count yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that we say, oh, yeah, well, we can go ahead and say, you know.
Which is a big issue.
Yeah, right.
It's a big thing. We can count ourselves dead to sin.
Yeah.
I had something happen, and maybe I'll wait till the end of the message. But this is 2 nights ago. It scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. But anyway, I have done very well over the last months of where it says in 2 Corinthians, it says bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I have been able to do very well with God's help, so that I can catch a thought before it comes, and I don't have to entertain the thing and be found guilty of it later on. You know what I mean? And all of them, stupid thoughts came into my mind. Really crazy thoughts. And I thought, I haven't had these things to worry about for a long time. And I thought, it's got to be the devil. So I began to rebuke the devil. This is about 3 in the morning, you know, one of my witching hours. And anyway, and I started to rebuke that thing, and it came against it. And the next thing I knew, where I have had those pains and things in my hips, they were like a woman having a baby. Now the baby was kicked against the belly and the heel. My legs were exploding and scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. It really scared me really bad. The legs were coming apart. And I haven't had any problems since. And so I don't know if that was the thing of leaving me or what was going on. Or if in the future I need to have you guys pray for me for deliverance, I don't know. But after that, my mind cleared up, the thing was gone. Mm-hmm. It was a demonic interference.
I would stand on the faith that it was a deliverance. Just to be on that faith.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Admit, you know, and that way you're blocking, they'll get
well,
back in there.
I tell you what, if I have been scared, I was scared.
I know.
My legs were coming apart, and I have never had anything like that ever happen.
Yeah. Sounds like deliverance to me.
Yeah, they were just jumping, both of them were just jumping, violently, scary.
Like seizure activity? Like seizures?
Yeah, like seizures. I have had no problems since.
I remember back, you know, in 1982 or 80, whatever, I remember praying with Brandon Carroll. I remember across the street, little guy, I don't know, 8 years old or whatever he was, maybe younger, I don't know, praying for deliverance for him. And I remember asking him, do you know where it is? Is it here? Or he said, no, it's right here now. You know, little guy, you know, he didn't go along with, you know, he knew where that thing, I had the same experience. No, it's right here now.
Yeah.
So there is a physical manifestation
this
of the spiritual.
This was, it was scary.
Yeah.
Really scary.
Well, Satan knows how to get to us sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, things that will scare us.
I mean, you're right. I've had nothing since, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It scares me.
I know a lot of times when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll just rebuke the devil a lot of times too, because I don't know if it is or not, but if it is, I want it rebuilt. You know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Or if I'm in an extra amount of pain or something, I rebuke the devil. I try to, you know.
Well, we've seen a lot of deliverance. I've seen a lot of strange things, but I have never experienced anything like that. I don't know what other people did when we prayed for them.
That was quite a manifestation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was about to lose them, both legs. It was a real strange feeling. I had no control whatsoever.
Well, I couldn't do that. You know, it is so characteristic of the devil to remove from your thought processes any idea that this might be a demon or the devil or whatever.
You know, the scripture says bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it says to do it, so maybe we can. And I have been very, very successful by the grace of God. By his help. So to catch thoughts before they even come. And what a relief. You don't have to apologize or repent from it. Repent from something else probably goes in, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been very helpful. And I realize that we can do it.
It's probably imperative that we do. Probably imperative that we do.
Yeah. Well, that's one less thing we've got to battle.
Yeah.
If we can.
I should remember that myself. Because I can't declare victory over sin. I cannot do it. It would be a lie if I were to claim it, you know.
Well,
but I do. It would be well to remember. Hey, rebuke that thing.
Yeah, and know the Bible says, "Confess your faults, so another that you might be healed."
Yeah.
And you get rid of one weakness, or you seem to, and then you develop something else. And anyway, when I try to pray, and early in the morning, I'm trying to pray. Thoughts come into my head. So the next thing I know, I'm battling thoughts, and I can't get rid of them. And this isn't even these kind of thoughts. It's like, what am I going to do tomorrow? Or what am I going to do the next day? Or what am I going to do yesterday? Or, you know, I mean, just crazy thoughts. And I rebuke them, and they don't leave me. And this is not even the kind that it's work things, work related things that I can't do if I try.
Mm-hmm. Well, the natural man, not necessarily the sinful man, but the natural man really gets himself in there.
Yeah. Well, I want to pray. You know, I just want to spend time in prayer. And my only consolation is that the Lord knows that. But I asked him, I said, please help me get rid of these, you know, plans. And you know, don't decide what you're going to do tomorrow. You're not going to do it till tomorrow anyway.
But praying is a whole lot more pleasant than thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's what your preference would be, it would be, wouldn't be that.
But I sometimes find, you know, I start praying, and next thing you know, wait a minute, what am I doing over here?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
From here,
yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm way over here.
Yeah.
How did I get from here to there and not even know it? You know?
That's me. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know.
You have to rein yourself back in.
So anyway.
Not like intercession when you...
You guys can pray for me and pray for one another. Whatever, maybe you have the same problem.
Yeah, I think we do.
You know, there's a, I read it this morning somewhere, and it says, like, let's see. On to it here. Yes. There's, so in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul talking about when the Israelites were in the desert and committed sexual immorality, and they were, you know, built an idol, and 23,000. So And it says, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain as some of them also went. Okay. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Wow. I never had that trouble with that word before. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And I think, how do we implement that so it works? It's exactly what you were talking about, you know?
Yeah.
You would think if you said, Lord, help me with this, then he would help, right?
And that's what I ask.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Does he help with it?
And the next thing I know, my mind is operating. The thing I wouldn't be working on.
Yeah, so it's like...
the testimony you just gave was an example of that, though. You've got these ungodly thoughts in your head. You rebuke the devil. The devil, sounds to me as though the demon got cast out. And then you were okay after that. That's in that particular case.
But like what you're talking about when you're trying to pray.
When I'm trying to pray.
You're tempted away.
Right.
How do you bring it back, you know? Because it says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able.
Well, beyond what you're able, maybe there's quite a bit of give there.
I think God understands our human mind does not.
He does, and boy.
Well, now, it says if he can give you, make the way of escape, then it means, well, you probably were in the temptation for a bit. And he can lead you out of it.
Yes.
So
yeah, there's no time frame laid out there. It's not going to be, make this thing easy. You know, there's no reason why God should make it all easy for us. We wrestle and wrestle and wrestle.
We need to
recognize. Jacob wrestled the whole night through.
You recognize it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers.
Right.
If it was so easy, why would you need God?
Well, exactly.
You know?
Right. There's nothing in this deal that says, hey, you're going to take care of it just quick.
Go ahead.
And you know, God does, when he gives intercession, he does bypass the devils and everything that would come against you, so long as you stay in the intercession.
Yeah.
I mean, I've experienced that.
Yeah.
I would love that all the time, but it has to be from God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right.
I figured.
You'll come back. I thought yours was more important.
But prayer is important. It's totally important. For us and for those we pray for.
It's important, and then it's not too surprising. It should be a battlefield.
But God has promised. Probably a good thing that we can't see everything out there that's happening in the spiritual realm.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
For sure. Yeah, we wouldn't be able to handle it.
You know that the sixth chapter of Ephesians, that's what we're talking about, not wrestling with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And then it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it gives us a little bit of an inkling. We're talking about the frailties of different translations and so forth. But there is one word that is accurate. Somewhere in the middle of that whole thing is truth.
Right.
and the Holy Spirit will guide us to it. So it says he will guide you to all truth, which means that it's more than even teaching. He will give you the right, so after a while you'll know what the truth aspect is. Just like this thing about baptism. And we are buried with him in baptism. No, I wanted to see if it said the same thing in all of them, or close to the same. Because not that it mattered. Because I could see where we would be buried. Because baptism initially means immersion. That's what it means. And so when they used it to mean sprinkling, we have no foundation for it. And so you are buried with him. You are buried with him. You are buried. That means you're dead. You know, you're done. That's all. You have nothing else but that. When you bury with somebody, I mean, you're buried. And anyway, and somehow, what he was is what God wants us to be. And what he became, or what he was before he became it, was what God wants us to be. And so somehow, the baptism issue is an association with Christ as is. It says that when it has that he appeared, what we're going to be like. But when he appears, we will be like him. It says, for we shall see him as he is. That means that right at this moment in time, whatever we're going to become, he already is. That's what he is. We shall see him as he is. And so what does that mean? That means we're going to be glorified? That would be my guess.
I don't know what it means, but I'd like to know what it means.
Yeah.
We'll be like him because we will see him as he is.
And whatever it is, I'd like to be there right now.
Right.
Get rid of this old flesh.
Right.
I got up this morning and my imbalance was so bad. Chuck had to push me in this thing from one end of the road to the other. If I tried to push it, I'd fall over. Right now it's better, but it was bad news. And I'm glad he didn't fall over. He's pretty steady.
Wearing out.
Yeah, well, Shelly's going to come back, I think. She's going to be here Wednesday, and I got a doctor's appointment on Thursday. She wants to go to it because
that certification of
disability. They determine that I'm helplessly old and feeble minded. Whatever they can determine, you know. Maybe I'll just go in like this. But anyway, if they can determine anything like that. And she gets paid by the state of Washington for like several months. She'll come back here and spend her time right here.
Ah, that's pretty great.
Good.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
She'll be coming this upcoming Wednesday, though.
Yeah, but just for two or three days.
Oh.
Just for the doctors.
I see.
Okay. And then she's coming back later, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be good to see her, but...
Yeah. And it was Keith's idea, so...
Oh.
So you felt clear yourself incompetent?
Yeah.
My last
Physically, yeah.
Well, you're in a situation where you need some assistance.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's the point of that law, so.
Yeah.
I mean,
I couldn't use it.
Your thinking is pretty much okay, but.
Pretty much.
You're in a situation where you need some assistance.
Yeah, physically, yeah.
It's hard to come to that place and admit it, you know?
Huh?
And I know it's hard to come to that place to admit it, you know.
Go Once you get to the point where you can admit it to yourself and accept it, I don't want to say it's easier, but it is easier.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know.
We have to do it.
Look, Keith would be getting along all right if he didn't have the balance problems. You know, his legs would be working better. I mean, you know, he'd be, you know, but he's got this darn balance thing.
We all could say I could do better if I didn't have this too. I mean, we all have our little, you know, secrets and our own personal choice, you know.
I just consider myself, of course I'm not as old as Keith is, but I consider myself very fortunate not to have anything that would be confining me to a chair in that kind of way.
Like I told my daughter, my oldest daughter, when she was here, I'm just happy I can still clean my house and wash my own clothes.
There's more of that than you think.
Yes, there is. Oh, well.
But, yeah, we all age differently, you know. Canada twice a year, do a lot of fishing, and when this happened, I had to admit to myself, I can't do this anymore. And once I admitted that, it doesn't bother me that I don't do this anymore. That's what point I'm getting at. So if there's anybody out there listening, if you got a problem, admit to the fact that you do have a problem. You know, and get whatever help you need with it if you can.
Yeah.
In the meantime, there's a whole bunch of things that you're able to do that plenty of people in your high school graduating class can't do. You know, you're driving around, you're walking,
Yeah.
As long as I'm on ground floor.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes two of us.
Yeah.
But I got a good neighbor. I need help. He's right there to help me. And I do rely on him.
It's a pretty nice thing to have going on.
Yeah, because, you know, there are just things I meant to myself I can no longer do. And I don't even try to do them. But if there's some things I can do, I tell people, let me do them. If I can do it, let me do it. Don't take that from me. Let me do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it.
You know. Otherwise, you're nothing anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You know.
Yeah, they think they're being kind. All they're doing is...
Yeah.
Limiting you.
Yes.
Shall we...
I think we're done with the...
Yeah.
Take order.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going astray.
Okay, we're wrapping things up.